It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Here are some items that have something in common. A warlord in Uganda. A protest demonstration in Madison. A backlash against comments made by Rush Limbaugh. The Arab Spring. What ties these different events together is the use of social media in some form to protest, both in terms of organizing and also in terms of spreading the word in a way that traditional sources can't always do. Paul Levinson is with us during the first part of the hour to discuss this. He is a professor of communication and media studies at Fordham University. A revised edition of his book, New Media, is due out this summer, and you can find his blog at Paul Levinson at blogspot.com. So what is your thinking on social media? Have you used it to participate in political protests or rallies, or whether it's protesting against something like Rush Limbaugh or protesting against something closer to home? Do you think that social media have changed the way that political protest works? We'd like to hear what you have to say. Call with your comments and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email works, too. You can send us a note at talk@wpr.org or use social media. Post a comment at the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Paul Levinson, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, good to be here, Gene.
Well, this is such a big topic these days, you know, and it seems like every week social media brings us something else to be thinking about. And as I look at it, and I have to tell you, I've been around for a while now, on the one hand, it's really interesting and it does a lot of things, but there's this part of me, the older part of me, that says it's just a lot of hype. And so which is it, or is it some of both?
No, it's there's really no hype at all involved. And the reason why you think it's hype is everyone has what I call the first love syndrome. The first media that we become used to and work in and listen to and watch and read, we always hold those in higher esteem. And we tend to look at least a little askance at new media that arise. So someone who's 15, 20, you know, 25, 30, 35, they probably don't, you know, have the same feelings you do. I'm so much of an oddball that even though I'm no longer that young, I, from pretty much the beginning, recognize Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Wikipedia as all being among the most revolutionary media invented since the alphabet itself. One of the things about the alphabet is that it was much easier for people to learn how to read and write than previous writing systems such as hieroglyphics. So there's an interesting relationship between the rise of democracy in ancient Athens and literacy and the alphabet. And in many ways, the protests that we're now seeing, ranging, as you pointed out, to what's going on with Kony in Uganda, to Occupy Wall Street, the Arab Spring, the protest against Rush Limbaugh, what they all have in common is that people can get their ideas out to other people, out to the world, without having to go through the traditional media. You don't have to be interviewed. You don't have to appear on a television show or even, as we're now talking, on this show. All you need is, nowadays, a little device, a smartphone, an iPad, and you can just, in seconds, in the case of Twitter and Facebook, get your ideas out there, and maybe a tiny bit longer in terms of uploading a video. And I see this really as a resurgence of direct democracy. In fact, ever since ancient Athens, we have expressed our will politically by electing people who in turn do what we want. And then once every 2 or 4 years, we decide whether we want to reelect them or put somebody else in that position. What these social, or I call new media, and the reason why I use the double new is because they're more than Amazon and iTunes and the New York Times online, which are on the web, but they're still controlled in the old-fashioned way. And in contrast, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and many other media, what they do is they allow people to organize politically, as you said, to bring people out for protests, be it Occupy Wall Street or the Arab Spring, to spread word about the Kony video on YouTube, which last I looked is close to 50 million views in less than a week. And in that way, ideas enter the public sphere without someone having to decide, an editor or a producer, that, well, these ideas are worthy of public consumption.
And while these different forms of new media are still relatively new, in some cases they've been around long enough for people to talk about some of the issues, whether it's something getting out there that may not be factually correct and that sort of thing. In that short time that these have been around, are you seeing some sort of maturing going on here as people start to think more about what it means to actually upload something? Or are we still in the very beginning of trying to figure all those sorts of rules and protocol out?
Well, the key to these new media being more reliable conduits of information, the key always has been the number of people who see, hear, and read these little phrases on Twitter or see YouTubes on video or read articles on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a good example because it's written by everyone. That is, anyone who can read Wikipedia can easily become a writer and edit. And so there was a lot of concern in the early years, Wikipedia goes back to 2001, that, well, I mean, anyone can put up any nonsense online, and there it is for people to see, and isn't that terrible? Well, obviously that's not good, but what was discovered is, as long as you have enough people reading an article, if there's something incorrect in the article, it can be changed. So it's sort of a self-correcting system. And as the general level of knowledge is raised in the world, everyone becomes capable of refining these messages and correcting anything that's incorrect in them.
800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you would like to join in. Paul Levinson is with us, and we're talking about new media and new media, as he puts it. A lot of what we're talking about here sounds awfully, awfully good. You know, the idea of the resurgence of direct democracy, people having the ability to get their ideas out and needing a relatively low bar to do it and all that sort of thing. From your vantage point, are there downsides? And if so, what are those?
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like an unbridled optimist, but given the nature of the world today and the problems we've faced and the problems we've seen throughout history, I see no downsides to this. People and the intelligence of people are a resource that is always needed. And the more of that we can bring to a problem and an issue, the better the result. So, you know, if you have someone who's elected governor of a state, such as in your state, Wisconsin, and people are not happy with the governor, they don't have to wait for the next election. That was always part of the process. You can have a recall, but now it's never been easier to get that recall in motion. And what we're seeing, I think, is something that John Milton, Thomas Jefferson, many of the great thinkers of the Enlightenment were saying, although it wasn't quite possible back then, but what they were saying is, as long as you have an open marketplace of ideas, and as long as truth has a chance to confront falsity in this public arena, then people have enough rationality to separate truth from falsity and make the best and most informed decisions. And that's really the core of democracy. And it is only to the good that now, more than ever before, people can see the wide array of information available to them and make judgments and act upon them.
One of the practical issues that certainly I have had is how to keep up with everything. I mean, it is like this flood of information, and if you're interested in a lot of things, It is tough. I mean, is there going to be some sort of technical solution to that, or are we just going to have to learn to juggle a lot more things?
Well, think about this. When you walk into a bookstore or you walk into a library, there are vastly more books there than you can possibly even think of, let alone walk over and look at. And you might feel a fleeting twinge of anxiety, oh, where are the biographies, where's the science fiction, where are the travel books, whatever. But you know, usually within minutes, if not seconds, you go to the part of the library or bookstore where you expect the book to be, and you look at the books and you make your selection. What we're seeing there is people are comfortable with the navigational systems in bookstores and libraries, meaning they know how to get to where they can see and, in this case, read the information that they're seeking. What we need, and what, however, is pretty easy to obtain, are the navigational cues for getting the best out of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And it's a pretty fast process. Most people who get into these and get onto those systems pretty quickly learn how to use the systems, how to set up the various options so that they're comfortable with the information that they get. It's an evolving system. One of the things that is sometimes frustrating is that these systems are constantly updating their opening pages and how you can get the information, but even that is just a temporary little annoyance at first, and usually the changes are improvements. The people who most feel information overload, ironically, are people who are not on the systems long enough to understand these cues. You could almost say, and I have in fact said, that what we refer to as information underload, information overload, is actually information underload, meaning it's a paucity of navigational information, a paucity of ways of getting around the systems. And those ways are pretty easily internalized.
We've got to take a break now. When we return, we will continue our discussion with Paul Levinson. We're talking about social media this hour, particularly in the context of protests, of driving discussions on a very, very large scale. 800-642-1234. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be partly cloudy. Expect some scattered light snow showers in the far north this morning. Otherwise, it'll be sunny in the south with highs from the mid-20s in the north to about 40 in the far southwest. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper teens in the north to about 30 or so in the southwest. And then on Saturday, it'll be sunny, breezy, and warmer. Expect highs in the mid-50s in the north to the lower 60s in the southwest. Around Wisconsin right now, it's 7 and clear in Superior. It's 16 in Eau Claire, 17 in Wausau. It's 23 in Green Bay, 23 in Appleton. It is 20 in La Crosse, 22 in Madison, and in Milwaukee, it is 26 degrees. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 21 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 5 this afternoon here on the Ideas Network, John Munson is in for Ben Marins. Monday is National Alfred Hitchcock Day, so in preparation, John Munson and his guest discussed the life and the legacy of the filmmaker and the impact that his films have had on the world of cinema today. That's coming up after 5. For the rest of this half hour, we are talking with Paul Levinson about social media, particularly in use of drawing attention to an issue, to protesting, to being used to have a discussion on a very, very large and broad scale. 800-642-1234. We've got some listeners who would like to join in, so let's go to the phones. And Nate is with us from West Bend. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and good morning, guests. Thanks for taking my call. I feel that social media is a way for sort of every man, the common man, to be heard, and I, for one, feel very jaded with the mass media. I feel like it's been hijacked by moneyed interests. It's very difficult, I think, for me to have confidence in what I see on mass media because of purchased ads, like in an election cycle. or even looking at a station like Fox Media, which is being accused of being a propaganda machine. So I'm very jaded with the mass media. A question for your guest is, how can we use social media to be even more empowered as individuals? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Nate, thanks for the call. Paul Levinson, where do we go from here?
Well, first, an observation, then I'll be happy to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem with mass media is not money and ads and all those things, although they may not help. The problem is actually deeper than that. And the problem actually we can see right here in this radio show. How many people have ideas out there who might be listening to this who can't call right now, or if they call, maybe their call won't get through? That never arises with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, because anybody can put anything up there at any time they like, and that's what the truly revolutionary quality is. But in response to the question, which actually follows what I just said, the best thing that can be done with new media or social media is use them more. And there used to be an expression, less is more, but the truth is, as far as information is concerned, more is more. Most people are still not completely informed about the issues that they need to know about. And part of that problem is that we still get a lot of our news from television and newspapers, and even when they're trying to do the best job, they can't possibly give us all the information we need. But it's never been easier to get out there on the web to search for the information you're interested in. And as we've been discussing, it's never been easier for you to put your own information out there, which can sometimes be in the form of questions. One of the things I talked about in the first edition of my book, New Media, and again the second edition, is people as a knowledge resource. If you have a question about something, there's no faster way of getting an answer to it, unless you happen to be lucky enough to sitting right next to someone who might have that knowledge. But other than that, you put it up on your Facebook status. You put it out as a tweet, and you can get an answer with correct information sometimes in seconds.
Laverne joins us now from Monroe. Good morning.
Hello, Gene. Great program.
Great,
hello,
thanks.
Paul.
Hi.
I agree with everything you say. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. And I like the fact that it actually covers the world, issues like what's happening in Greece now. And I think politicians should use it, and I particularly in blog sites. I don't know, you didn't mention anything on that. Some politicians use blog sites. I think that would also be an addition to it.
Well, I agree with you completely. By the way, I'm at Paul Lev, P-A-U-L-L-E-V on Twitter. So anybody who wants to follow me, and I pretty much follow everyone back, because it's good to see what everyone was doing. But you're completely right about blogs. In fact, blogs are probably the oldest social medium. They go back to the late 1990s. And what they have over Twitter and Facebook is you can write as much as you like. And although brevity is the soul of wit, there are some ideas that do require an exposition that's a little longer than 140 characters.
We're going to go to Milwaukee right now, try to squeeze another call in, and Ron joins us. Hi.
Hello.
Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I think this is a generational shift driven by technology. So you have like people who are the older generation who probably are learning about the electronic media now in the late 50s or in the late 60s. But when I look at my kid, I mean, this is the medium that probably he's being introduced and probably will know rest of his life. So as we have generations fading out and new generations replacing them, you know, this thing is there to stay, and the effect of the technology is just going to increase. But I have one concern. I mean, there is always a talk of regulating the internet or regulating, you know, this new technology. And that's my biggest concern. I think once you start regulating it, then it becomes, it is not really free speech. It's not really a free flow of information. And I think people need to be very careful when they start talking about regulating this information. Thank you.
Well, I agree with that completely. And that's why we have to be zealous in our insistence that the First Amendment be respected. And clearly anything that goes up on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, it's a kind of press, it's a kind of speech, and the government is obligated to keep its hands off of it. And nothing that goes on online is so atrocious that it warrants government involvement. Of course, I'm not talking about criminal activity. You know, if you have people, you know, plotting to murder somebody on Twitter, that obviously needs to be looked into. But other than things which are outright crimes, the government has no business having anything to do with anything that goes on in these new media.
Now, as you look ahead, I don't know how far ahead you can look these days. I mean, it seems as though the technology changes very, very quickly. I'm guessing that you would see the use of social media increasing as opposed to decreasing, but is it possible to know exactly what comes next after Facebook, after Twitter?
Probably not, but what is clear is that the hardware is still evolving. It's getting smaller. It's getting easier to use. It's almost become a part of us. It's almost like an article of clothing or an earring, the it being the smartphone, the very, very light iPad that we sometimes decide to use. And I think in the future we're going to see even more of that. And that's what will make it even easier for people to get out there and exchange this information.
And for those of us who haven't done it yet, just dive in and get used to it, huh?
Exactly right.
All right, Paul Levinson, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate that.
My pleasure, as always.
And again, you can find him at Paul Lev at Twitter. If you would like to drop him a tweet this morning, you can also post comments to our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show on Facebook, of course. Social media, lots to talk about. Coming up after the news, we're going to be talking about Wisconsin's voter ID law with somebody who says we need it. That's coming up next. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.